If anybody knows plants, it's Jennifer Robinette.
I grew up in Homer and Anchor Point. My dad owns the Anchor Point greenhouse, and my grandpa started a business called Fishy Pete Potting Soil over 40 years ago. And so I've been tied to the plant world for a long time, all my life.
Robinette is the Eekuk Tribe's environmental coordinator, a job that manages concerns regarding wildlife. Robinette was hired by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act in 2010, working alongside 10 other coordinators to hunt down invasive species. Soon after, she received a grant to seek out non-native plants across 19 villages in Bristol Bay. In the summers, she visits Dillingham, where most of her family resides. This year, she discovered a plant in Scandinavian Creek that shouldn't be there. So white clover was found in Scandinavian Creek?
White sweet clover, actually. So we've got the Trifolium repens, the other species of clover, the one that you see really commonly with the little round flower head. And that one's all over. That one's all over Bristol Bay even.
And what does white sweet clover look like?
The white sweet clover, the Melilotus alba, the one that I'm talking about, has this long flower stalk similar to fireweed, where it blooms all the way up the stalk rather than in a ball. And they're tiny white flowers, so they're smaller than fireweed flowers. And they, if you look up close to them, they look like a pea flower. This plant can grow up to 6 feet tall. It actually, I think some of them were 6 feet tall. They've got the three-leaf configuration, just like the other clover that we see in Bristol Bay, usually in ditches around playgrounds and things like that.
So what kind of negative impacts does white sweet clover have on this environment?
You know, the worry is that it might outcompete willow species that are important to moose habitat. So a willow will bring nutrients up to its bud where a moose can go get that food. A white sweet clover will bring all those nutrients down from the stalk into the ground, into the roots for the winter. So the availability for food for wildlife, you know, decreases when you have problems like that.
And how do you remove this plant?
You know, to combat an enemy, you've got to know your enemy. And so with white sweet clover, it's a biennial plant. To pull it up would kill it. On the other hand, there's other species where you pull them up and you still have the vegetative parts that are going to come back as another plant. This one, that's not going to happen, but if it does leave seeds, then for a few more years, we're going to have to look at that spot.
And how do invasive species like white sweet clover get here? And what can people do to reduce invasive species in the area?
So we've got some vectors like doing erosion control alongside roads, so spraying seeds alongside roads. And there are native seed mixes that contractors can get. So if there are any projects being done in Dillingham or in Bristol Bay, it's always great to be upfront and say, this is what's in your contract. We want our native plant seeds to be seeded along the roadway rather than this other seed mix.
Thank you, Jennifer. Other invasive species in Dillingham include orange hawkweed. It blows around like dandelions and can dominate an entire area, wiping out native plant sources. If you're curious about plants in Bristol Bay, Robinette suggests the Alaska Exotic Plant Information Clearinghouse at akepic.com. The website tracks all non-native plants known in Alaska. In Dillingham, I'm Tyler Thompson.